My name is David Panto. Developing an effective prayer life is a workshop, so if this is different than the one that you signed up for or would like to be in, now's your time to duck out, and I won't be offended. But guys want to pray or what? Why don't you pray about it? Let me know. So we have, what, till 1:45, I think, in here? Like, what? No, I'll try to keep this on time so that we can be the ones to get in line and get lunch before the greedy people get there. So let me, how appropriate that I'll start it off with prayer, right? So let me pray for us. Father, I do thank you for this opportunity to dive into your word and really just seek you for what it means to be able to communicate with you, that you give us this privilege. And Lord, we ask that would you remove any distractions that might be here that would come against you and what you want to accomplish and allow us to focus in on you. It's not about what I have to say or anything else. It's really what you want to say in your word. And so we just ask that you would communicate to us and allow us to understand and hear and respond in faith to you. In Christ's name, amen. All right. So you come and steal my chairs,
yeah, we
huh?
We wanted chairs.
Good morning, everyone. Everybody all right? The meeting session, Bruce was pretty good getting the blood flowing and everything. The curveball there, having to move around to different seats, but it's good you guys are adjusting to the change. I'm just kind of curious as we start off. I want this to be highly interactive. A workshop, in my mind, is, I don't know, maybe about 40% of the time I'll actually do some teaching, maybe 50%, and then the other 50% is you guys actually doing some work too. That's why I call it a workshop. So you'll get a chance to get in the Word, get in small groups, discussing together, so that you're highly involved in this. So I'm going to ask a lot of questions. Hopefully you guys will feel willing to speak up. Just to give you a little heads up on this, they want to record these messages. So I'm going to have to. So when any questions are asked, I'm just going to respond back. So hopefully that doesn't get annoying to you, but just heads up on that. So here's the first question. Why'd you come this morning to this workshop? What is it you're seeking to find during this time? Learn more with communicating with God. Okay. Making it mean something. Okay. Understand the purpose. Learning to listen. What is prayer? Just where you guys are right now. There's no right or wrong. I just kind of get a thought for where you guys are and what your understanding of prayer is. Talking with God. Asking for forgiveness. Fellowship with God. How would you define fellowship? Real relationship, yeah. Great. Any other thoughts? Remembering him? Yeah. So remember him and acknowledging him. Yeah. Open communication. It's not a monologue. It's a dialogue. Yeah. Well, I want to be the first to tell you that I haven't arrived when it comes to prayer. So I don't come up here communicating and sharing things from my life and things that I've learned from Scripture as one that has it all figured out. And I appreciate Max's humility as he shares things up there and just his journey with God. The things that he's continuing to learn is not because he's gotten to the point where he's just arrived spiritually and he's coasting, but it's a continual, a life continually in pursuit of God and going deeper with God. And I'm on the journey too. And the things that I share and communicate are things that I've learned along the way that I think will be helpful. But I'm sure you guys have had things that I haven't even gone experienced fully, that you maybe have further down the road than I. And so this isn't somewhere where I come up here with all the wisdom and knowledge and I'm passing it on to you guys and you get everything as a journey together. But I do think there's some things that will be helpful for you as we dialogue together in this. So as I thought about prayer, there's different prayers that I've thought about in my life, the different ways that I come and approach God. And I thought, here's just a few things to kind of get our creative juices flowing. So when you come to God, do you feel like this at times, like it's a boardroom meeting? And your prayers, man, they're direct and they're focused. They're efficient. You just tell them exactly what you want. But it's not real personal, okay? It's not like a coffee shop where you and I are talking. It's you feel kind of uptight and you got to put everything a certain way, and you have to be at your best behavior, and you have to communicate everything clearly, and don't go too far, and don't put yourself too far out there. And so sometimes that's how we pray. I call it the boardroom prayer. Okay? And there's other times, call this the 911 prayer. All right, I'm going through life, and then all of a sudden something comes up, and I like shoot a flare out to God, right? Because this is, I remember when I was in college, and I didn't get as much time to study for tests. I was like, okay, Lord, help me out on this test, you know, and then, you know, go through the test or whatever it was. And I'll tell you, these prayers, man, they have conviction. All right, there is a lot of energy behind them because, man, I really, really, really want this answered. But gosh, it's sporadic at best. And like a flare, it kind of shoots up and it's, you know, and there's no depth to them. But then I thought a little bit more and I thought, well, what about this? The perfection prayer. There's a time in my life where I just got a little nervous about even approaching God, you know, because it's the God of the universe, right? I mean, get a chance to communicate with Him, and boy, I want to make sure that everything I say is 100% biblical, and I'm not going to extend myself too far. And so I would just really wrestle over anything I was praying. Am I really, is this really good, and is this what God honored? And God, will you love me today? That's about all I had, right? I mean, that was 100% every time. And man, I mean, this right here, you'll make sure that it, all your I's are dotted and your T's are crossed and all these kind of things. There's a lot of thoughtfulness, but man, I think it misses the heart of God to feel like we have to come to Him only with these perfect prayers, well ironed out, no mistakes, almost like we're nervous before God. Now, these are just obviously some funny things, and I'm not saying that your prayer life is like that all the time, but I imagine there's times where you're shooting some flares up, or you feel kind of like a boardroom, or maybe you're just kind of nervous and not exactly sure whether you're going to not communicate what is glorifying to God or whatever. But I think what I want to talk to you guys about, and what I'm already hearing you guys say, is what does it look like to have a relationship with God, that God is our Father, and what does that look like? Now, I'm not going to cover everything there is to know about prayer in this next hour and 15 minutes, but if anything, hopefully this will help with some foundations in prayer, and maybe wherever you are, give you a chance to take a few steps further and drawing closer to God and communicating with Him, okay? All right, so like I said, this is a highly interactive time, all right? So I don't know, there's probably 40, 45 people in this room. And let's say groups of about, I don't know, 8 or 9. We need 4 groups, okay? So you guys are college students. This is no problem for you to break up into 4 groups, all right? So however you want to do it. Ready, set, and so go ahead. I'm going to give you 15 seconds to break up into 4 groups. Ready, go. And feel free if we need to back that way some. We can utilize the whole room. All right. So we got 4 groups here. We have 5. All right. We need some cell multiplication or split into be absorbed by 2 others. 1, 2, 3, 4. All right. We're good. All right. So we'll have group 1 here. Group 2 is right here. We do have 5. What's going on here? Mold that into 1. Add a few to this bad group over here. I just didn't want to number you off. That's like elementary school, right? I mean, so. Oh, this one got big. And then the blob of people. All right, well, this will work. All right, so group 1 here, group 2 right there, group 3, group 4, okay? This first section of Scripture, each group's going to get a section of Scripture. You can divide up however you want if you want to all read it at the same time and get the information from it, or if you want to each, you know, delegate and, you know, take out some different verses, whatever you want to do. But each group is going to be in charge of making sure you understand kind of the main themes of the passages of Scripture assigned to you, and then you're going to get a chance to delegate to one person who will be your spokesperson and share with the rest of us what are the main themes that you saw from those passages. Okay, make sense? So group 1, here's your verses on why we should pray. This is what we're trying to get to, why we should pray. All right, so group 1, hopefully you can see that all right. Group 2, here's your verses. Group 3, here's your verses. in group four. All right, so go ahead among yourselves, look these passages up, and again, we're trying to answer, what do these passages say? The main theme is on why we should pray, okay? I'll give you about 10 minutes. Go ahead. By the way, I have scratch paper here. If you guys need some scratch paper to take notes or whatever, jot down any information you want, here they are. I'll just pass around the groups. Feel free to take as much as you need. All right, let's go ahead and bring it back in. All right, group one. And by the way, I'm going to put my email address up at the very end of this, so if you're not able to write down all the verses, have no fear. You can just email me, and I'd be more than happy to send you the slides or just the verses or whatever you need. I wasn't expecting you to try to feverishly write down all these. So, group one, trying to answer the question why we should pray. What did you guys see in the verses that you read?
I think summarizing the eight verses that we had, like, God is able to answer that prayer, and He's always there, and so it shouldn't, I guess, in response to a perfection prayer, it shouldn't be our fear to come to Him because He's always going to be there, and it's okay to pray at those times. And He can empathize with us because He is human. He's holy and should be praised for that, and His almighty power and His dominion over our life. And then He knows us intimately. We were fearfully and wonderfully made, and prayer is our way to know Him.
Well said. Well said. I think that was a great summary. And by the way, I'm going to just tell you straight up, these verses are leading us somewhere. So, you know, you come to workshop and you want to learn about prayer. So I'm leading you to a certain direction. So it's not like random verses, obviously. So just heads up on that if you don't like leading questions. But thanks, group one. Group two.
Okay. We came up with a lot of, like, there's communication and almost respect. He has called us out of a lot of things and into a lot of grace and mercy and has called us His children. So if He respects us enough to call us His children, we should obviously give Him respect back to at least community.
He loves us. Very good. All right. Group three.
We're reading a lot of verses that are about spiritual warfare and just the reality of the existence of the enemy. Of our warfare, I'm not the flesh and the heart, but spiritual powers. And so that communication with God is beyond just the strengthening of the relationship with Him, the fact that we're battling the enemy and praying for His will is necessary to battle that enemy. And from little things that we encounter day to day, but even the big things of His kingdom work.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Thanks. And group four?
A lot of the verses we had pretty much in general talked about the will of God. And prayer kind of shows our dependence on Him, our communication with Him, and through that, God communicates His will to us. And also, He then gives us the power to fulfill His will. Matthew 6:10 is in the
Lord's Prayer.
Right. It talks about having God's will be done on earth and in heaven. I think, in heaven it's done, His will is done in perfection. There's nothing much. I mean, obviously He's sovereign here, but everything's kind of fighting His will in a way.
Yeah.
In the spiritual warfare, like Stephen was talking about. And I think prayer to Him and seeking His will for us helps us see what we need to do to make that happen.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks. All right, so you guys are hitting it. And the reason I wanted to do this is because I could just share a bunch of stuff, but this is God's Word. And that's what I want. That's what's going to do a work in all of our hearts, is getting in time in God's Word and reading it for ourselves. And there's something even powerful about just reading it out loud and hearing from Him in that. So let me give you the kind of the punchline and the direction I feel like we're headed. When I ask myself the question, why should I pray, there's a lot of reasons. But, man, if I could hang on to some basic principles, I'd say I need to know the goal of prayer. If I want to know why to pray, I need to know the goal. And this is the goal, okay? It stands for God, ourselves, an adversary, and legacy. And those are the verses that you guys just looked up. right? We had group one, and man, they were verses all about who God is and how awesome He is. That if we just stop and thought about the massiveness of God, the fact that He is everywhere, He knows us perfectly, and He there's nothing that can stand up against Him. He is always in control. He owns everything. It's just amazing how God is. And yet, in His awesomeness, He is also amazingly intimate and desires amazing intimacy with us. In fact, if you were to pull all the different world religions, this would be one of those things. The God of the universe that we serve and we worship stands apart from gods of almost every other world religion. And that He and that we believe that He is personal and knowable, and so not only is He personal, but like I said, knowable. We know it. We can see only what not only we know the Bible, but in the life of Christ, we have seen Christ. We have seen the Father, and there is it's an amazing amount of intimacy and relationship depth that is offered to us by God. So I wanted to put the two, like how awesome God is, but how close He desires to be to us, so that we recognize how holy and amazing He is, but at the same time He wants a real, authentic, deep relationship with each one of us. It's a gift that He gives to us, and it's something that prayer allows us to be part in that, and our dialogue and relation and relating to God. Okay. The second thing is ourselves, right? One thing about why we should pray, we realize that we're a part of that. Okay. And the things that I was this. Focusing in on this section was, man, we're His kids. If you have put your faith in Christ, you're a child of God. And He even goes far as if you're a child, you're an heir, a co-heir with Christ. An heir means that you and I have the opportunity to share in the inheritance, the blessings that God gives us, future and present. It's amazing. And what does that speak to our identity if we are a child of the King? So, and you guys are going to be hit with lies about, well, God doesn't care about you. You know, He's not really knowable anyways. And all these other things the enemy feeds you. And you can know for sure, what does God say about me as my identity? And that He does desire real, authentic relationship with each one of us. It's just amazing. You're not the unloved person. You're not the unaccepted. You're not the cast out. God cares deeply for each one of you. And He wants to know you. He wants you to know Him deeply as He knows you deeply. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. He knows you. And God don't make junk, all right? I mean, that's right. We can probably agree to that. God don't make junk. He can make a beautiful tapestry from dirt. It's pretty amazing. The third, an adversary. If I think about prayer and I pushed out the side of the spiritual warfare and the battle that is going on, I think we'd be missing something. It's kind of like, if you remember, there's a parable in the New Testament about the judge, where this widow comes up to the judge. Jesus is sharing this parable, and the widow says, "Look, somebody has wronged me. I have an adversary that has wronged me, and I want justice." And the judge is like, come on, don't bother me, you know. And she comes to him and comes and comes and comes and finally is like, okay, fine. You're annoying, and I'll give you what you want. And he's saying, look, if this annoying judge will finally give in, how much more your Father cares deeply for you, will hear your prayers. And so, but you got to realize there's the person involved, which would be us. There's God, which was the judge, and there's an accuser. And we need to recognize that when we walk this earth, there's a battle going on. As you mentioned, it's not flesh and blood where we can necessarily see it all the time, but it's a very real battle. And these passages right here talk about the enemy is an accuser, a tempter, a deceiver, all these things prowling around trying to get us. We even know from passages of Scripture that the enemy can actually inhibit people and dwell inside people, come inside them when they let them in. I mean, it is a very real thing. And so I'm not saying this necessarily to scare us as much as we have to recognize what is really going on. When you see things, we look through the lenses of our physical eyes and we see what's going on. And a lot of times we just go, oh, I'm just having a bad day, or it's just been rough with some of the the things going on, but recognize, wait a minute, there's an enemy that not just wants to mess with me, wants to take me out. But in these passages, we also see that God is much bigger. We have a loving Father that has overcome. The enemy never stood against God and never had a chance. Even we see passages from Job, and I didn't put those in there, but Job, where, you know, we have this scenario where God's doing his thing and Satan comes up and says, hey, what about Job? And there's a lot to me you said that, but one thing I want to point out is Satan had to come to God to get permission even to kind of go to Job. That's how in control God is. God is not going to leave you hanging in this warfare. And then the last thing, the legacy. I think this is important because if we miss the bigger picture of why God has us here in our prayers, we can kind of tend towards maybe just the physical prayers of, help me on a test or help this person that's sick or whatever. And those prayers aren't bad in and of themselves. But think of the legacy that is going on. God has us on a mission to make disciples of all nations, to reproduce our lives, to see the gospel advanced. You know, this morning we heard about the missions, and that actually was, I believe it was John Piper that spoke that. And he talks about, there's a book that he wrote on missions, and he talks about, look, here's the deal. If you want to get down to it, you want Christ to return, we don't know the day or hour, but one thing we do know, when the gospel is preached to all nations, the end will come. That's what Jesus promised in Matthew 24. And we have a part to play in that. If we didn't, God would just take us up and we'd be gone. We're here because we're on mission. And our prayers have a vital role to play in advancing God's kingdom. And when we pray, we can pray with the legacy in mind, with the mission in mind. And maybe legacy is not the best word, but it fit for goal, so hey, why not? But let me also mention this. The Romans 12 and the Joshua 1 bring out the importance of God's word in this. You want to know God's will? Well, we have it. Here. He's explained to us what is his will. And maybe it doesn't get specific as in, do I take job A or job B? Do I take class A or class B? But he has told us everything that we need to know in following him. And as we seek the primary focus of knowing him and being in relationship with him through his word and prayer, he's going to show us. He says to Isaiah, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in him. Our focus is not necessarily, Lord, what is the answer to my question? It's, I want to know you, and he reveals the answer. It's kind of like Max was saying. He just spends daily time with the Lord, and God, in his quiet times, brings up things that apply to his life. He was just focusing on being with God. And so I do want to highlight the importance of his word in this process. That is what's going to keep us pointed where we need to point. And our prayers are focused in the direction that honors and glorifies God. Okay? So, why should we pray? Think about the goal. All right? Now, it's time to reorient yourselves into a group of five. All right? So this group clearly needs to shed a few members and make a little smaller. So, go ahead. Groups of five. Maybe have this one split off and then, just split that one in half, okay? So maybe kind of do two circles at it. Ready, set, go. All right, so we talked about why we should pray. I want to talk about how we should pray. What does that mean? Now that we understand the bigger picture of why it's important to pray and what's involved in that, let's talk about what it looks like, how we should pray. So here you go.
Is it groups of five or five groups?
Five groups. So yeah, just keep the groups you had except for this one splits into two. Sorry. Yes. I will put my email address up on the last slide. So, yeah, focus on the conversation and not, just write your group's verses down, and I'll give you these verses later if you email me. So, group 1, 2, 3, 4, and then 5 in the back. And you got about 10 minutes. Go. We're going to need to go pretty quickly on this, so. All right, let's bring it back in. All right, group one, answering the question, how should we pray? What's important to know about that?
Prayer and faith, well, they're coupled, but it has to be your plan A. You can't have a plan B aside from that. And try and make your own plans just in case God doesn't work out. You have to prepare your life for what God will do, like, according to what you're praying, and not waiting for Him to show up.
Prayer and faith, yeah. All right, thanks. Group two.
Okay, we came up with we should pray with complete faith in all of His power and the fact that He is our foundation. That if we are to pray with Him with a full heart, that His will be done and He will for us. Like, He has good plans for us, we will only listen to them.
Yeah. Knowing the character of God and who He is and giving it all you've got, not holding anything back. All right, group three.
We need to just come to confession before God, recognizing our sin, and also we recognize His great mercy.
Yeah, before some confession. Yep. Four.
It was cool. I was kind of getting the vibe that all of our verses were pulling together a theme of being thankful and giving thanks. Each one of them bringing it up, and then. Calling us to be thankful for a different aspect.
Cool. Alright, group five.
Ours also talked about thanks a little bit in Philippians, and then also you're being open and vulnerable with God, but then taking that to the point of, you know, praying things directly with people. Again, Matthew 6:10 was there, which is, again, talking about His will being done here as in heaven. So it kind of directly correlates there. You see His will and praying directly from. And many times I think scripture is that talking about that. It's His revelation to us about His will.
Yeah. Awesome. Again, you guys did a great job. Thanks for sharing. So the punchline here, it's not something that is new for you guys. Maybe there's a little bit of a twist on here. I went from acts to facts. So when I ask myself, how should I pray, I think about the facts. I want to know the facts to it. The first one, faith. Man, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Passages where it's like, look, if you, whatever you're praying and asking, believe that you received it. And it's not a prayer believing that if I just have enough faith, it's faith in who. You're believing that God can actually do what He says He can do. Prayer is offered in faith, asking without doubting, asking in obedience of faith. You know, James talks about, 1 John talks about the obedience that happens in praying and obedience and following God. And then he says, well, here's following God. This is what it means to obey His commands, is believe in His Son, is the next verse. I heard it said one time this way about faith. There's a lot of definitions that are out there. I really enjoyed this one because it says, faith is ordering your life in such a way that you believe the promises of God are true. And the reason I like that is because I think it does capture the biblical basis for faith. Of, it's not just a winsome, yeah, sure, I think it could happen. I mean, it is solid as anything that you are grounded in the promises of God, and you don't just know them, that you believe they will come true. And that is with faith. And it's not just a mental ascent, it's actually ordering your life practically. How you live your life, knowing full well that what God says will happen, will happen. That what God says about Himself is true. That what God says about us is true. That what God says about the spiritual realm is true. And what God says about advancing His kingdom is true. So that's the first one, faith. The second one, adoration. Man, there's a ton of passages in the Bible that get to this, and I just gave a few. But the point of this is prayers where you're just praising God for who He is and what He does. It's not asking anything that you want from Him. It's just a complete, wow, God, You are amazing. And you can see psalm after psalm after psalm, and passage after passage after passage where people just came before God and said, wow, before God. And there are definitely, and then I'm not saying you have to have like one day only praise him, and one day, you know, I mean, but it was just the prayers they had were just filled with just praise for God and who he is. It was worship. Okay, the next thing, confession. Man, there's something about being able to come clean before God that draws you near. You're not holding anything back. God doesn't hold anything back from us. If anything, we do like this with things in our life that we just don't want to go there. But being able to just say, confession literally means to speak the same thing. It's the idea of agreeing with God. Coming to God and say, I agree, this aspect of my life is not honoring to you. I want to come clean before you. And in our prayers, we're communicating that to him. You look at the prayer like Daniel. You know, Daniel knew that a promise of God was going to come true. In chapter 9 of Daniel, it was in the first year of a new kingdom of Cyrus of Persia, I think it was, or Darius, one of the two. But anyways, Nebuchadnezzar had been dethroned, a new kingdom was coming, and Daniel thought this could be the time now where God is going to restore the nation of Israel back to where they had been pulled out of exile. And he looks at the book of Jeremiah, rolls out the scroll, and he realizes we're close. It's actually probably within 3 to 4 years God actually was going to do it. And Daniel is like, oh man, this is going to happen. He lived his life as though the promises of God were true. But before he even asks anything, he lays out the sins of the nation, the sins of himself. Look, we have messed up, God, in your sight. You are amazing, and we have messed up. And one last thing on confession. It's not just confession for that sake, but it's confession in light of the nature and character of God. It's not just, woe is me, I'm pitiful, but it's how amazing you are, and I've missed it. And I confess that to you. I agree that that is wrong. Okay? And then the fourth thing, thanksgiving. Great point there. It was all about Thanksgiving. My wife and I went on sabbatical. The NAVs give you a chance to do that about every 7 to 10 years to kind of pull back and take stock of things and really focus on the Lord as far as where he has you and where you're going to go next. And we did that a couple years ago. And I was really challenged during that time because I felt like my prayers were always, there wasn't anything wrong with them, but it just felt like I was always asking for something. And so I just kind of felt convicted that maybe for a season, I should just offer thanks. Every time I prayed, it was just to thank God. It wasn't to ask anything. And man, it revolutionized how I communicated and came to God. Because I wasn't always just give me, give me, give me, like the vending machine God. You know, just put my faith in there and push a button and out comes my response. It was just, God, thank you. To this day, when I pray before a meal and give thanks, I do just that. I give thanks. I don't ask for anything. I just thank God. And so that might be something for you guys to consider, just growing in your prayer times and just thanking God. It is hard when you are thanking God to be mad at him or to feel down or frustrated, because as you begin to thank him, then praise comes out. And you start to worship him, and you realize how big he is, and then it just is like, suddenly, the thing that you're going through wasn't so big after all. And it came because you were just thankful. Paul even went to the extreme and said, be thankful in all things. Pray without ceasing. Be thankful in all things, 1 Thessalonians. That's a challenge to us, I think. And then, in light of all that, supplication, right? Those are our requests, the things that we're asking of God. Then we get to that part. But I would say the reason I like that it's last year is that it's in review and summary of everything that we just talked about. So we don't just put all that aside and just ask whatever we want to ask. We got to keep in mind of what is asking in light of who God is and coming clean before him and thanking and praising him and believing that he can do what he says he can do. And then from there, we present our requests to God, right? One passage of Philippians 4, without anxiety, that means we have to trust God. Are we willing to trust him fully? Can't really expect things from somebody you don't trust. And God, in his grace, won't let us do that, get away with that anyway. So, This last little section of verses here, Matthew 6, 11, 13, and 10. I put those in there because I want to highlight what I feel like in Scripture you can see three realms to prayer, three areas. And this, Jesus did it right there in what we call the Lord's Prayer, but it really could maybe be said as the disciples' prayer because it was what he was teaching the disciples at the time on prayer. The Matthew 6, 11, I think, is just one example of the seen physical realm to prayer. All right, give us this day our daily bread. We have physical needs. There's certain, and God says you can pray about those. Tell me about them. I want to take care of you in that. Okay? The second realm is the unseen kingdom of evil or spiritual evil realm. Right? And there's certain things that we can see, prayers in there where people were praying to God, not to the enemy, praying to God about what was going on in the evil. And so he says, deliver us from evil, is what he says in Matthew 6. Praying to God to deliver from evil. And then there's a third realm, which is the kingdom of God, the spiritual kingdom of God, unseen kingdom of God advancing, which we can't necessarily see with our eyes always, but God is at work at all times. And that's where it says, thy will be done, thy kingdom come, right? Now, I'm not a biblical scholar, but as I've polled the audience in Scripture and my limited knowledge, I have seen the majority of prayers, direct prayers, talking about what we should be praying around, center mostly on the third realm of the spiritual kingdom of God advancing. There are definitely prayers about the spiritual evil that's going on, and there are prayers about the physical seen things. But just keep that in mind. I'm not saying that you have to like run a grid through all your prayers and say, well, I got 5% in the physical and 5%, so I must be, you know, that must give me 90% in the spiritual kingdom of God, I'm good. Like, I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying, let's pray in light of Scripture, right? If God spent most of his time communicating to us directly, like the direct prayers were about his kingdom advancing and about what was going on in his kingdom, then let's let our prayer, like majority of our prayers, be in light of that, okay? All right. So, we have about 15 minutes left, and I want to actually get some time to put this in practice, and we're going to spend some time finishing out praying and communicating to God these things. But before we do, I just want to again reiterate this as just kind of the takeaway. So, again, don't forget the goal and the facts. In order to know why to pray, I need to know the goal. And in order to know how to pray, I need to think about the facts. Okay? Not everything there is to know about prayer that the Bible says. But I think there's some good stuff there. And this, and I try to do this way. I know maybe not everybody in here is all about acronyms, but you can communicate that. And I wanted to try to give something to you guys about prayer that not only would impact and help you, but then could be something that you could reproduce and pass on to somebody else. And I think this is pretty straightforward. So, one last thing before we pray, I want to give you a little challenge, and here's a little quote for you, okay? The peak of our working together with God is in asking with one accord that God will accomplish what he desires to accomplish. The true meaning of prayer is for the one who prays to pray for the fulfillment of the will of the one to whom he prays. The reason I bring that up is because I think as you and I grow in prayer, by the very nature of growing near and nearer to God, our prayers, majority of our prayers, will be less and less about some of these things we thought were so important before, and more about, God, what is on your heart, and let me talk about that with you. And so I don't know where you are in your journey right now with God, but I put that as a challenge, a little vision casting to what it could be like. I remember Dawson Trotman, who started the Navigators, he kind of had this realization one time in his life. He goes, why am I praying for one country when God wants me to pray for nations? Right? And it just kind of challenged me to think, why sometimes do I pray for these little things, which, again, are not bad? But I pray this little thing, and God is like this as far as his ability to do it. Let's order our prayers in light of how big God is. And I guarantee you, it will challenge how you live your life, but you will draw near to God and see him do amazing things in your life. Okay? So, Why don't we, groups of no more than three people, okay? So I want this to be smaller groups. And the time we have left, about 10 minutes, let's pray. What is God stirring in your heart? And let's just ask, Lord, would you do this? Humbly come before Him. If you feel like you need to come clean on anything, you know, if you feel the freedom to do that, go for it. If you want to just praise Him, praise Him. If there's a request that you have, ask it. And let's put into practice some of these things that He's challenged us on. And then I'll close this here in about 10 minutes, okay? So go ahead and break up in your groups. And instead of just asking, like, sharing with each other and praying for each other, why don't you just go ahead and pray what's on your heart, and then you guys can be in agreement. Amen means agree. I agree with that. And we know that we're two or more gathered together, and we agree in God's name. He says, I'm in this. So there you go. Father, I just thank you for this time that you've given us today. And again, Lord, I pray that this would be just continued steps closer to you, that these are the things that we would take some time as we leave from here and go back and ponder more what it is you're trying to say to us and communicate to us. And it could just be an ongoing dialogue with you and something that would draw us near. Lord, we recognize there is a real enemy. There's an adversary that seeks to destroy. But greater are you, and you have overcome, and we are thankful for that. Lord, we pray that this would help us draw near to you and would be more of a relationship with you and not just facts about you and knowledge. So we just thank you for this time. In Christ's name, amen.